comedy podcast, comedy podcast. Get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast, comedy podcast. A certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together, it's a certified fucking good time.
Yeah! Coming at you from the Goon Cave, it's the boys. My room is in a pretty Goon Cave state right now.
I am in our office slash guest room slash cat's room, where I am joined by the cutest little kitty, Hazel, who I think is a fan of the podcast, or at least my half of the podcast, because whenever we record, she comes in here, she jumps up on the futon, and she makes some biscuits, and she just kind of sits and looks at me, and she's very sweet. So, she's a fan.
I've definitely heard the cat while editing the podcast.
I know, there are a few spots.
It is very cute.
When she gives a little...
Whew! Man, today is a total Monday, if you feel me.
Indeed, yeah. Mondays
are
often...
I've been living in a Monday going on like a month and a half.
You should cease that. That's a long time to stay in a Monday state. Why does it feel every day like you're awakening to a new mountain?
It's just all Monday, baby. I don't know. I need a better job, to be honest with you.
Yeah, where you don't have to deal with the high pressures
like my
of
gig.
Crawfish shortages.
Not the pressure, it's just cash. I need cashola.
Of course. That's
yeah.
what we all need.
Amen.
We should take it from the people who are hoarding it.
I think we should sell windows door to door.
I think that is the secret.
I think we should start a multi-level marketing door-to-door window sales company.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean...
And we get other people to knock doors and sell our windows.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it doesn't even have to be an MLM. Like, the company that I worked for is a big old corporate shape company. It's just a high enough margin item. It's a big ticket enough item, replacement windows and doors, that they can successfully make enough money on each unit to pay everyone all the way down the line, including the door-to-door salesperson. It's about getting the cost of marketing low. And the cost of marketing in door-to-door was always lower than most other marketing sources across the company, at least with the data that I had access to. So it works. Door-to-door marketing works as long as you have a high enough ticket item to cover all of the labor overhead. And if the labor overhead is just yourself and everyone in your downline, then yeah, I mean, you could do an MLM based on a door-to-door approach for sure, and you'd make a boatload.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you front everyone the product, I don't have to describe a pyramid scheme to you.
We should do a pyramid scheme. I'm telling you, either it's supplements or we do like an MLM, and that's our ticket out.
¿Por qué no los dos?
It's an MLM supplement scheme.
I mean, that's what most of the MLMs are.
I mean, most days. People who need penis pills know at least three more people who need penis pills.
Mm-hmm. Or at least want them, I mean. Yeah, you know, I think these things are going to have a bit of a resurgence in this moment of, you know, gutting government oversight.
Economic instability, yeah.
And lack economic instability, yeah.
And then just the squeeze. Yep. People, the best victim is someone who's desperate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On that note. Hey, so let's talk about traffic deaths. Let's tell jokes about traffic deaths. Let's give the people what they came here for.
It's true.
I don't know. There were a few mass casualty incidents on I-35 this month. Of those hit sort of close to home.
What happened?
Well, I don't know. The majorly fucked up one. Not that all roadway violence isn't fucked up. There was like standstill traffic on I-35, and then a 18-wheeler plowed into it at like 60 miles an hour. He was charged with a DWI, but he didn't blow. Like, it's not alcohol. That's all we really know.
He just like missed it.
He just sent it, baby.
Mm-hmm. Full send. Oh my god.
But no, it was like a 17 cars, 5 people dead, including an infant.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
And then yesterday there was a wreck that blocked I-35 going both ways. I was watching my girlfriend and I were watching the news story last night because she was going to Pilates at that time, basically right there. And so I was like, oh my God, you know, is my wife dead? So I called her and we were watching the story later. And the whole emphasis, it's like a 3.5-minute news piece. And all the emphasis was on like the traffic, right? The whole story was about like, man, I was like, this fucked up my whole day. Like I was going north to south or south to north. And I can no longer do that.
Well, I was up north. I was up north, and I was trying to go down to the south side of the city, and it took me 60 minutes.
There's only one lady who was upset. It was like, oh my god, I feel bad for that person. Everyone else is like, well, my commute was interrupted.
Yeah, while, you know, obviously, I mean, it's so scary to see the mangled cars and all the people just standing around. And, you know, I'm still focused on where I'm going. I've got to get where I'm going. Oh, my God.
The freeways have, with a sufficient level of traffic, it's almost like they have a 100% failure rate during peak hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, no, but it'll be okay once we add another lane.
Right. But it's true though. It's like it experiences periodic catastrophic failure, unlike any other system we've engineered for transportation.
And even when it isn't catastrophically and violently failing, it's still not efficient.
No, deeply inefficient.
Yeah, both in the use of resources and fuels and in terms of getting people where they need to go quickly.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
I'm so sorry that was so present.
No. So that was sort of fucked up. Roadway deaths. We're going to put a shirt on the site soon that says, I heart roadway deaths. For all you gooners at home.
Wow.
Oh, goodness. I'm pretty sure we had like 50 downloads last week.
Nice. Well... Let us know what we're doing right, I think. I don't know.
We're not doing anything right.
Let us know what we're doing wrong. Roast us, please.
Podcasting is like jazz.
That is true. And I recommend any new listeners go and review the episode with jazz in the title. It's one of the better ones. I think last week was good, too.
All of them are top-of-the-line podcasts.
Indeed, listen.
We only serve excellence. I said to my coworker, was making fun of me at work, and I said to him, "You just don't understand what excellence is." And he said to me, "You come to work high every day."
And you said,
and I said, "Touché." Touché, sir.
I had the opportunity this week once again to ride the Mustang down to Colorado Springs from Denver, and I learned the first time I rode it that I didn't actually have to go downtown to catch it. I could just go to what is really one of the sort of spots where I catch a feeder bus to the light rail system. The Mustang happens to also pick up people from that train station. And so it's a really easy, quick little bus ride away down the boulevard. So it really was okay. It only took me, I think, all in like 2 hours and 10 minutes to get from my apartment to downtown Colorado Springs. So
wait, how long? 2 hours and 10 minutes?
About 2:10, yeah. And I imagine driving would take 1:10. So I sacrificed 1 hour.
That is cool.
So that I could...
I mean, you took a lot of car miles off the road.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's super pleasant. You know, I just kind of kicked my head back on the seat. I napped a little bit. I listened to the conversation of the people who were sitting a couple of rows ahead of me, who seemed to, A, have never been in Colorado before, and B, never been on a bus before. Wow. Or maybe even in public. Like, it was a very strange duo of people. They were probably, like, in their 40s. They were both men. And they, like, would get panicked every so often. Maybe they were coming off of something. I don't know. But they would get a little bit panicked, like, once the bus had been rolling from a station for, you know, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes. They'd be like, wait. And then they'd go ask other people on the bus, was that Colorado Springs? And then they'd run up to the driver. The driver's like, sit down. And, you know, it's, of course, big motor coach style. So we're supposed to be sitting there on the freeway. I'm wearing my seatbelt because I know I'm on the freeway and I know what happens on the freeway. At every station, they go and they say, is this Colorado Springs? And the bus, you know, is a very simple bus. There's, I don't know, 10 to 15 stops. It starts at downtown Denver and it ends in downtown Colorado Springs. Like, if you got on that bus.
Okay, so the terminus is Colorado Springs.
Yeah, it's not like you could miss it. And even when we were hopping off the bus together, they were like, is this Colorado Springs? It doesn't look like it. And I was like, what do you mean? Yes, it's Colorado Springs. They were like, well, it looks like Grand Junction. And I was like, you are not in Grand Junction. And then I walked away. It was kind of amazing. I didn't quite understand how they were so perplexed, and I wonder,
were they old?
Not really. No, they were very spry.
Perhaps they were sheltered, rural folk.
I think that's the truth. I think they were, had maybe never been on a regional bus before.
Yeah, bro. If you grow up in the middle of nowhere, think, and like, let's just say you grow up without fucking internet, mm-hmm. like, you could believe anything about the world.
It's true.
You could believe anything at all.
It's true. Yeah, and I don't know, I obsess over the map as a person. I'm like always looking at the map, and so
right,
that's how I orient myself. I think it's how I set myself at ease a lot of the time. Like, it's how
the
I
map
orient.
Is a thing of genius.
Mm-hmm. Indeed,
we love the Indeed. Map. I don't know.
I told you that I had to define Atlas for one of my Gen Z coworkers recently, right?
No.
Yeah, he didn't know what an Atlas was. I made a joke about, we were lost and Google Maps was not really being helpful. The signal wasn't working. And I was like, well, time to break out the Atlas. And my coworker, who's like 20 years old, said, what? Because me and some of the older guys kind of giggled. And I was like, an atlas. He was like, well, what's that? Isn't that like a Greek person? And I was like, nice. It is named after a Greek god figure. That's awesome. But no, it's like a catalog of maps. And they were like, oh, well, why wouldn't you just use your phone? And I was like, well, let me tell you, I felt super old.
Yeah, you used to have to wait until you found a copy of Playboy magazine under the... you know, in like a drainage ditch. That's a mm-hmm. goon, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You used to have to, what's a good example? You used to have to wait to meet someone to like find out if a fact is true.
Yeah, or like wait for the library to reopen and go find a book by asking a person where that book might be or like what that book even is.
You might not never know who won the next game.
Mm-hmm. If you wanted to meet someone new, you had to read a piece of physical print and attend a physical event for singles to get together, or you had to just go down to the bar. And people still do that. I mean, I think that's one of the things that persists. But, you know, the fact that you can sort of just order Casual sexual partner, I think, is another one.
Hey, would you rather printing press or bench press?
Printing.
No, come on. Come on. Bench press. Bench press. It's more bench important press to the history of the world.
I mean,
getting big.
I would say that it's not unimportant, but I still think the printing press outpaces it a little bit.
I don't know, man. Chest day.
The printing press is just so central. Exactly. Like, bench press is for chest day. It's a single exercise. And I would say that, like, exercise and...
But chest day is tries day. And for looking swole, chest day is the most important day.
Mm-hmm. And the printing press, but the printing press is good for many purposes. It's good for looking a certain way because you can publish things to amplify or alter your own image. But you can also, you know, create catalogs of data using a printing press. You can, like, there's a lot of things you can do, but if you just exercise those glamour muscles and you're skipping leg day, you know, you're not going to make it, but with a printing press, you don't really need anything else.
It's okay to skip leg day. I think we can all agree it's okay to skip leg day. You just won't be strong.
I'm just so not a gym person. Like,
just be pretty. No, I don't know. You're a stretcher.
No, yeah.
You're a mobility guy.
Yeah, I stretch. I love to do yoga. I love to ride my bike. I walk.
You've always had a sense of respect for your body that I haven't really had over the years.
I don't know. I feel like you've developed over the years a very mindful approach at the end of the day.
We're getting there.
Yeah. Sometimes mindfulness is like partnered with shame, which I don't think is always like the most helpful, but... How you doing on, like, cigarettes? You on cigarettes?
No. I quit coming up on 3 years off cigarettes.
Heck yeah, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is good. It is good.
That was such a hurdle. And I think that took a lot of, like, individual mindfulness and, you know, mind-body connection. So,
this week
don't
sell
yourself
short.
I
rode my bike 200 miles this week, and I climbed 10,000 feet.
Wow.
So we're feeling strong.
I didn't know you were a foot guy.
Oh my God. I licked 10,000 feet. I sucked 10,000 toes. God, no. When you're at work and you say to your coworker, come over here, let me suck on your toes.
I mean,
do that just to break the ice?
Yeah. I mean, some people, again, it's to your point earlier, they don't understand what unyielding excellence is like.
Come over here. Excuse me, waiter. Have I done this character for you yet?
I don't think so.
Excuse me, waiter. Talk to me about your boy pussy. I do this to my coworkers. Excuse me. Have you been keeping that succulent pussy juicy for me, waiter?
Is this based on a real customer that came into the Crawdad shop, or
no? It's just nightmare customer me. Excuse me. Talk to me about your boy pussy. Is it succulent?
What are you allowed to let? What are you allowed to serve me?
Oh, waiter, I'm in the mood for something succulent and juicy. That bit is gold.
I'm certain that your coworkers love it.
I don't know. I haven't gotten fired. You should meet the guy who owns the place. Because he's so fucking crazy. Like, he'll greet people at the door and people will think that he's a homeless person.
Nice.
So, like, I think I'm good, honestly. I think people like the bits.
There you go. I mean, I have always found your bits very funny. And I've seen people throughout the years think the same. And if you're in a group of people that feels that way, I feel like it's definitely points for your job, which I know you hate, and I know you hate it because it doesn't pay enough.
I do love my job. Honestly, I am very grateful to get to do something which is so, I don't know. I've had a lot of jobs, and I think a theme is that I haven't really, I mean, beyond not being treated with respect by anyone except my brother's company, it's like you have to care about what you're doing. You can't not believe. If you find what you're doing on a day-to-day basis like meaningless, I just think it wreaks havoc on your psyche. And the thing about food service is it's a meaningful profession. You know, it's a real, it means something. It really does. It's a valuable part of the community.
Oh, yeah. At the very basic level, people just got to eat. And
have any, like, it's just in the, especially in the absence of third space in America, right? Mm-hmm. The restaurant, the bar becomes where community meets.
Yeah, it is the third space. It fills the gap where there might be an absence from our turning away from religion and community groups and things like that. It becomes the gumbo slop shop where you get to have your favorite dish and...
Excuse me?
You get to have your favorite dish, boy pussy?
Oh, yes. This is my third place. Let me show you my fourth.
Oh, God. Jesus.
I'm trying to lean into the other side of the podcast today. I feel like I'm usually a dry
loser. You're like...
So I want the folks at home to have some pity for me.
No, we, I don't know. I don't have a lot of transportation stuff. It's like there were some traffic deaths in the community this week. I pushed a feature to the website where if you click on a crash and you click through to the crash report, the link at the top now says print a QR code. And if you click that, it'll take you to a page that just says someone died here, road airport, and then a big QR code that links to the details of that incident. Mm. So it's like a first version.
That's great.
But it's cool. It's cool. So if you wanted to put up a poster in your community, you could come and you could click on the death and you could print it out and you could go put it up, and then it'll link to basically the whole police report for that incident, for any traffic death in America. And I really do want to encourage people to put up, you know, let's be honest, it's a little dry, a QR code, for the gravity of the situation, but you know, there's 4 million of these incidents all over America. Basically everywhere you look, we could put up one of these posters.
Yeah. No, and I really, that was my immediate reaction, was, oh man, yeah, I mean, who would want to do this? And like a lot of, I think, people that would want to raise awareness in this way would be people who are grieving the person who was lost at the site. And so, yeah, that's my immediate reaction too, is like, oh, just a QR code, like it's cold. But like data is powerful. And
yeah, and it's just like, you know, even a QR code, but with a link to all the details, and, you know, we can put memorials. You can leave comments on the site. You can write whatever you want.
Exactly.
And honestly, people's contributions to people's personal experiences are some of the most powerful stuff, right?
It's like, the only way anyone's mind gets changed. Like, right. Really, is
people
the combination
telling
your
stories.
Of, because people know the data. Like I talk to everyone that I know in my whole life, and I you know, especially if I'm arriving either on foot or on my bike or from the bus, and people are like, oh my gosh, you like took the bus here? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh yeah, does Annie have the card? No. No, I just wanted to go this way because it's less violent. but it doesn't, like, help. Even if I reiterate to them over and over again all the data and, you know, what the truth is about the system of getting around that we've designed, it's the individual stories that contain grief and love and loss and hope. Like, those are the things that change people's minds and, like, move the needle. Now,
so does this mean we shouldn't have a comedy podcast about traffic deaths?
No, because I think that's, like, the next best thing, right? And that's what we're trying to do, is to bridge the gap between the real stories and the actual pain that's baked into the results of this system and the understanding of the system from the 30,000 foot view, right? From the Atlas perspective. And I think comedy is, I mean, it's another way to reach people and to move the needle. So if we can inspire someone to tell a more heartfelt story because they're a little, like, put off by us joking about this concept, like, I feel like that's a good thing.
Oh, no, I'm just one of the only, so, like, I wrangled maybe 800,000. I wrangled 22 years of federal crash data. And I spent months of my life normalizing it all to where it can be interpreted from a unified perspective. And so I just spent a lot of time, like, deep in the weeds, with, like, data processing. And then I left the ability to comment on the site, right? So you can write whatever you want about any of the federal data set. As an example, I just clicked on a few when I found the news articles, and I went through a few of them when I finished the product itself. And one that came up was this guy, Bob Hanks. He died somewhere in Austin, I forget where. But it was just, his obituary is short. It just says, he went to be with his Lord. His favorite shout out was, "I love you, God, and I love you, Brenda." And that broke me. Yeah. Like, you know, I spent like 3 months, looking at traffic deaths every day. And I do think that made me a little depressed, like, let's be real. But then, like, so, like, you know, 3 months, like, looking at this data every single day, all the time, like, morning to night. And then, like, all it took was reading a single obituary.
Exactly.
And I completely broke down.
Exactly. And hearing in your mind, "I love you, God, I love you, Brenda." "I love you, God, I love you, Brenda" is better than all the sequel in the world.
Right. Because Brenda's not dead. You know?
God,
and that's
God,
true for the families of all these people.
God is... Do you think God's dead?
God is dead. God is dead. Let's be real. Let's not kid ourselves.
Where yet, buddy?
Oh,
I don't know.
Jokes. You were saying you were...
God would ride a scooter, right? Like, if God were embodied and rolling around, it would be like a scooter riding a scooter.
I think you're onto something.
Mm-hmm. Like a scooter with eyes.
Oh. So yeah, traffic deaths. Oh, we should. I mean, if you lost a family member or a loved one to this horrible fucking system, and you want to come shoot the shit with us, please reach out. We'd be happy to have you on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because this shit is fucked up, and I don't know. People deal with loss in different ways, and this is a comedy podcast, so you better be willing to have a little bit of fun.
Exactly, and our hearts are warm. Our hearts are warm, but it's impossible not to, I think, look at 3 months of traffic death data and not need to tell a few jokes.
No, true that.
Especially, I mean, I know you, and, like, that's how you process things. So it's like, yeah. I was reading a little bit more about this labor uprising that happened in Denver like 105 years ago. And it was just amazing how effectively the transit operators were able to shut the city down like entirely. And I was just thinking about like what it would look like if the RTD completely stopped running today. And it's just like it would so massively in a disproportionate way affect poor people, and like it wouldn't have the desired effect for that reason, because you know the reason to do it would be, you know, the general inequality, the lines that were fracturing along. I don't have to educate anyone on any of this. And it's just like, okay, so we have to go and like hold hands across the freeway, right? Like that's the way.
You first? I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
It's and I mean that's true though, because in Texas, what did they do? Well, they made it illegal to unionize and they made it illegal to block the road. And they made them like both felonies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I'm not saying that I'm ready to go do this tomorrow, cuz I'm not in a position where, you know, that can happen to me. But like it is, I mean, we're going to get there at some point, right?
And yeah, I mean, it's this system is so wasteful. This system is so violent, ecologically destructive, pointless, racist, inhumane, lonely, discriminatory. The critiques are endless, and the benefits of like a positive urban life they're fucking excellent. There are a lot of drawbacks to urban poverty. Cities do have issues, but most of them are related to cars and poverty, and those are problems that we can solve.
Indeed.
Without everyone needing a tank.
Indeed. And you raise poverty, right? And American media and car culture purposefully throughout the 50s and 60s really conflated poverty with housing density by characterizing dense neighborhoods that a lot of them were overcrowded. And at that time, there just wasn't enough housing. There were too many people living in each housing unit. So what needed to happen is the neighborhoods needed to get denser. But the story that was told was that these areas that were overcrowded and had become impoverished were that way because like urban density was a part of making that happen. And they used this idea to construct projects all over the country that are worse in pretty much every way in terms of like building a community than the housing in these areas that were becoming overcrowded. And the idea of tight-knit, navigable communities on foot were purposefully demonized because there was this narrative that the suburbs were the only safe place to raise a family because you have enough space and you have your own yard and you have, you know, this fortress that is yours to keep safe. And if you don't have that, there's no way to be safe because danger is other people. And it was just a bold-faced lie. We needed to rethink our cities. Some of them had gotten pretty dangerous. But what they did was gut workable neighborhoods and create more inequality than there was to begin with. So it's deeply depressing. That's Jane Jacobs. Read Death and Life of Great American Cities for like a much deeper view into the thesis that I just posited.
Not very funny.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Excuse me, waiter.
Excuse me. What if I want to kill my neighbor?
Oh, hey,
excuse
my
God. I'm waiter. Would you kill my dog?
Okay. So one funny thing about living in Texas is everybody has a handgun. So there's this guy. His name is Derek. He came into the restaurant. One day I just get to work, and there is a guy, like, sitting at a table, just, you know, like, acting like a normal customer. And he's open carrying, like, it was like a Glock or something. He was open carrying a handgun on his hip. And I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. It's Texas. That guy looks normal enough. I should add, because contextually, I think this is actually pretty important. He's black, right? And then, so I'm like, okay, whatever. But then he's there for like 2 hours and he's just like putting back loanies. which is like an, it's, so you can't bring a gun into a bar in Texas, but you can go to a restaurant and you can put back a few loanies.
Wow.
So, I mean, at the time I was like, well, okay, as far as like an etiquette thing is concerned, that is a bit of a faux pas, let's face it. But it's a faux pas. The guy was cool. The guy was really friendly. So like whatever, right? But it was definitely like, whoa, it was a Seinfeld moment for sure. 60 years ago is when the Panthers were having to open carry to protect themselves from like racist violence.
Yeah.
So like, who am I to fault the dude? But maybe don't put back a ton of beers in the restaurant.
Yeah.
maybe leave the gun in the car.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the Panthers were, of course, people were protecting themselves as individuals, but people were protecting their communities. And you can't really like go to the gumbo shop and get loaded and protect your community at the same time. Like,
it's true, but you can protect yourself.
Yeah, but you make your community feel less safe, because if you're someone that is in the community that maybe you're just acquainted with, and it's like maybe the second or third time you've seen this person, right? Imagine it's a single mom and she sees this guy tossing, she's taking her kids to the gumbo shop, right? And she sees this guy tossing back beers, she sees his gun, like it doesn't, it's not, it's not a good look.
It's not a great look. But like culturally it's pretty acceptable in Texas. I don't know. Like no one batted an eye. Not a single guest worker. Like no one batted an eye.
You did a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm a city boy.
Yeah. You're a city boy. Yeah. I still have never been inside that restaurant. I was right outside of it.
Yeah, it's chill. It's a good gig. Yeah. Good food.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Lucas. I have had a rough morning.
No, yeah, man. You're doing great, buddy.
We just gotta keep podcasting. God, just such a hard day in the podcast minds.
I mean, this is a good place to cut it. I'm definitely getting hungry.
And, no. We don't have enough content.
I think that like.
What about our bits?
We did quite a few bits. I feel like we had a good density of bits today.
I don't know. I got sad. First, we talked about the baby who died on I-35. Wait, that wasn't funny. That we have to have a certain level of funny.
Well, like,
I came in upset. I came in depressed. We talked about a couple mass casualty incidents. Then we did the bussy. Waiter, is that bussy juicy? So that's the plus. I don't know, man. And then I don't know where waiter. I don't know where waiter. I have a gun fits in on the funny, heavy spectrum, but it doesn't feel very funny to me.
I don't. Yeah, but it's a spectrum, right? I don't know.
Well, hopefully, maybe the true quality of waiter is that bussy juicy will carry us through and keep the folks at home satisfied.
Folks, you'll have to let us know. You'll have to let us know. Please, please, please.
God, I've sent some banging tweets on LinkedIn lately that have had zero likes.
that sounds about right.
I have been so fucking upset about it. Because the genius is unrivaled. Call me when someone makes a software that makes your wife come back. What's it, like an all-timer? Mm-hmm. One day they will go through my tweets and they'll say, he died too young.
Your LinkedIn tweets.
Funny enough, no one has ever, people don't like my tweets.
Yeah.
I think it's because I'm insane.
I think everyone in your life has advised you to stop behaving this way on LinkedIn.
That's true.
So, you know, someone's got to do it.
Here we are, trailblazing. Here we are creating the world we want to see. And that manifesting like that is such a thrill.
And if you want to manifest like Ben is able to manifest, simply go to roadway.report, navigate to the merch store, and then there's a section. You'll see it in the dropdown. It says Miracle Supplement.
If you want a bigger...
Miracle Supplement.
Yeah, I know. Buy our supplements.
That's exactly it.
If you... What is Alex Jones mad about this week? What urbanist principles does he need to espouse?
I think Alex Jones should incite a road blocking protest.
The problem is cars, man. We've got to get into the streets with our heads held high. We've got to say the streets are for gooning, not driving. The streets are for being, not whipping around in your hot rod. Less hot rods. Sorry. I don't... We've got to come together hand in hand all over the world, and we've got to block the roads. We've got to say, I can't do it. I just don't even have it in me today.
You are so
I
good,
I just don't
man.
Even have it in
You're
me.
You're so good.
He's not got it in him. He usually can do the Alex Jones, but today...
I think
no
it's
because
you gave me a topic. I'm not in like the improv zone. Too much improv.
It's too much direction. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been trying to get you to do funny things for a long, long time. We've worked in that capacity for a long, long time. And yeah, if it's
That's
too
funny.
Specific, you hate it.
You
always
would know.
Hate it.
No, because then I tried to bring back gooning back, right? And then it's too much going on. the Gooner Army is good to us. I'm grateful.
No, they're not.
I'm grateful we have the Gooner Army. I feel less alone. Was that too sad?
I just didn't have anything to say.
I'm grateful for the folks at home who are going to go out tomorrow and going to block the roads. They're going to put their lives at stake. They're going to say, I'd rather be dead than live in this hell you call America. I'd rather be dead, damn it. I'm fucking mad and I'm not going to take it anymore. I've been gooning for too long, baby. I wasn't born yesterday. You can't pull the wool over my eyes, government. The streets belong to the people. We're going to go outside, damn it. You can't bury us.
That
was pretty good.
Yeah, that one made it there. I don't know if it was like so much funny as
well,
it was
a
little
sincere,
like...
sincere, righteous indignation.
But...
You know, it's a fucked up system. It's a stupid fucking system that needs to change. And there's very few aspects of politics that matter as much as our administration of public space.
Deadass.
Okay, well, I love you, man.
I love you, too. Take care of yourself. Are you working today?
Yeah, it's my Friday.
Okay, well, it's your Friday, so be intentional. Let tomorrow be Saturday and not Monday.
Nah, dude, we got a lot to do. We got a lot to do.
Of course, the
Gooner Army has some fight left. If you want to hang out in Austin, come to Pi, Texas. Come to the Python Convention at the library, April 11th through 13th, if you want to get together. I'll be there for the entirety of that conference.
Heck yeah. Yeah, go see Ben. Wear your Hit Me With Your Car shirt. And you all can get a picture. And
yeah. All right. Bang on. Gooner Army, rise up. Be strong. Don't let the government pull the wool over your eyes, sheeple.
Don't let the bastards grind you down.
On that note.
Ta-ta for now.
All right. Love you, buddy.
Love you. Bye.
Talk to you soon.
comedy podcast, get your ass ready for a comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
Comedy podcast, a certified motherfucking comedy podcast.
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths?
About roadway deaths.
About roadway deaths.
Get yourself together, it's a certified fucking good time. Yeah!